Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Oh, what a crazy morning. You know, I was in the shower and then I realized I had 3 minutes to get on the radio. So it was a hustle, bustle, and stubby big toe kind of morning and then out the door to the studio. So anyways, good morning, everybody. This is God Brothers Radio, and I'm your host for God Brothers Radio. My name is Cedric Shabazz, and we're live from Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. Interesting show today. It's called Brothers Stop Killing Cops Now. And, you know, the caption goes something like this. Emergency, emergency, emergency. Brothers, stop killing police now. Because number one, it's flat out wrong. And number two, the media is reporting, but also exploiting the racial stereotype of us African-American men as violent predators. I'm pretty sure if I followed crime with the videotape, by populations alone, our brothers from different mothers would not be looking like choir boys. Reporting is one thing, it's business and informal, but to replay images to millions of people every second, you got to also admit that you are part of the problem also. Come on now, folks. I have a media company also, so I cannot call the kettle black. I'm a capitalist, and I love it, but I'm also responsible for our beloved American brothers and sisters. Good morning, good morning. Let me just jump right into this. You know, when I do news, I don't do the latest news on God Brothers Radio. I don't have a set schedule or a topic on what I'm going to do. To me, it's a spiritual thing that hits me. It's something that just grabs me, and it's just, and I got to do it now. So it's a spontaneous thing when I do the radio show. I don't really have, there's nothing pre-production. There's nothing preset. It's pretty much, if you want to call it a freestyle kind of concept or what stand-up comics call improv. That's kind of what God Brothers Radio is about. I don't know what topic. I could be talking about politics one day and Jesus the next and whatever, you know. But anyways, let me get to the show. Wow. You know, I was watching the news last night, and back after back they showed this police officer and let our families go out to the police officer who just recently got shot. In a particular city, and he got shot in the face. I'm not sure what city it was. I think it's Boston, in the Roxbury section. But if I'm wrong, please forgive me. But I'm getting to my point. And then after that, they showed a face of another black man that went ahead and shot into some kind of fraternity house or something in Alabama. Something crazy like that, killing seven people or wounding seven people. I don't know. And then right after that, you know, I'm sitting there, and then they talk about another black man or black men were on, I think, something called like a metro. It might have been in Atlanta. I don't know where it was. I don't know where it's at. But recently they showed three black men, and apparently according to the victim said that these three black men came up to him, and one of them said, "What do you think about that Michael Brown situation?" And he said that you know, I don't know right now because I'm too tired to think about it. And that black man lost his mind and went ahead and started beating on this white man like he was Muhammad Ali or Sugar Ray Leonard on somebody. It was disgusting. The violence was disgusting. It should have never happened. And that brother needs to be prosecuted to the fullest, along with the other two that he was with, and to the fullest extent of the law. There's no room for violence. You know. And I'm gonna make a clear statement coming from me, because I don't want people to get the wrong perception, or I don't want the media in the future to put something out that is not true about Cedric Shabazz. For one thing, I do believe in the right to bear arms as a black man, as an American citizen, and me not being a felon, that is my right to bear arms. If I was a felon or I legally could not bear arms, then I shouldn't bear arms. I'm a constitutionalist on the level of that fact. It's either black or white with me. There's no gray area in there. So I am a man, an American that bleeds into the right to bear arms, and everything about it. So I don't get into the debate about AR-15s or assault rifles versus pistols, or I'm not pro NRA or whatever it's called, you know, like that. But I like shooting guns. I like going to the range. I always have, and I, you know, that's what I do. You know what I'm saying? So the fact is that I believe in Americans' rights. Who's not a felon has the right to bear arms, and especially black men. But you gotta, brothers, you have to do it legally now. Okay? You got to understand that you have rights. Before, you know, if you're not a felon, black man, you have the right to bear arms. But you do it the right way and you do it the legal way. What happens is that a lot of brothers end up with so many felonies right off the bat for whatever reason. Some are legit, some are not. I'm not getting into that debate. That's not what the show's about. So they're already deemed out of the system for ever owning a firearm, ever. And so a lot of these brothers that I talk to, and I grew up with these brothers, feel like that they can't protect themselves as a man at that point. Physically, they feel vulnerable. I mean, they physically can no longer protect themselves or their family or their loved ones with a firearm. So they already feel vulnerable because they have that felony that they can't protect themselves. So they're already on guard, you know. So and so a lot of these brothers that I talk to, so we have to get around in society. They have to go to point A, point B, point C. Have to go to work. Have to, you know, run errands, do everything. You know, we do everything that everybody else does. You know, in America, whatever circumstance it is. But they constantly have to have this thing on their mind, this stress on them about if I have any kind of run-ins with anybody. Most likely, when the policeman does come, that he's not going to have any, they're not going to take his word for anything because he doesn't have any credibility, because they're going to look on a computer and says he's a felon. So he already sees a scenario that's the only conclusion that can happen, even if he's totally innocent. But this is the stress on his brain and his mind. As a black man under them circumstances, let's say he's only 19 years old. Let's say he's a 19-year-old brother, and this is his circumstances. He already got his first felony, and he's got all these strikes to get him right off the back. And then America wants to tell this black man, man, pull your bootstraps up, no excuse. And I agree with America on that. There is no excuse. But you got to understand, on the flip side of that, is that, how can I say this? The flip side of that is that people, you know, we can't kind of like have our how they say, bake our cake and eat it too, you know? I mean, people have expectations of other cultures and other nationalities, and they got opinions, and they got statistics, and they got their own history about what the black man or the black woman is going through, or what our Asian brothers or Asian sisters going through, or our Hispanic brothers and our Hispanic sisters going through, or Native American brothers. It's just, you know, could go on and on. It's kind of hypocritical, you know. It's kind of funny to me, because I'm like, you know, the same people who are writing this history and teaching our kids and your kids are, and I'm not saying they're not reporting the history accurate, because, I mean, you kind of pretty much have to have faith in what they write in these books when you give to your kids. I mean, that's what you got to have faith that what your the information in that book that your kids are reading is going to be helpful to them to surviving and being successful in America. And I'm talking beyond race here. I'm talking about any kid. You know, it's amazing how a group of people, like-minded people, could say, all right, 19-year-old black man or 19-year-old brown man, red man, white man, yellow man, whatever man. Let's say 19-year-old man, you got a felony. The chances of you getting hired for legitimate work is non-significant. The chances of you ever defending yourself or your family or your loved ones with a firearm is totally out the door. So, therefore, you're in society, and now you have to find a way to financially take care of yourself. Whoa. How is this going to get done here? Okay? Now, grant you, and I say this from experience, if a lot of brothers, if you're listening to me and you're in that situation right now, I have an answer for you. I didn't say I had a solution for you, but I have an answer for you. If you are 18 and over, brother, and you got a felony, there is legitimate work. It's called day labor. Day labor is the lowest form of work in the United States of America that is legitimate. And the reason I can say that is because the years of between so-and-so, I could say for about 20 years, I utilized day labor. And day labor, if you work day labor, it could be a regular job. But it's a responsibility to work day labor. First of all, you got to get up in the morning, 2 or 3 in the morning, whatever it takes. And you got to get yourself together. You got to wear the right clothes, wear you some boots, get you some gloves. You want to make sure you take a meal with you, to have your water and stuff. And you got to be persistent when you go to day labor. You have to have patience, but you have to be persistent. You know, you have to show up, and you know, of course, you have to get along with people. The best thing you could do is be a people person, because the more people you know, the more jobs they'll give you, connections. So you got to be sociable. You know, you got to be sociable. And you also got to be sociable to the people who are going to be sending you out to these jobs. You know, so you're going to have patience, because you're not just going to be able to, on the first day, most likely, just get a job, a four-hour job or 8-hour job, and then, you know, you have your little money, and then you just, that's it. You don't utilize their service no more. Because a lot of people do that. They utilize day labor service as a quick buck. And nothing's wrong with it. Be real about it. But if you're in a situation that we're talking about, you got to keep a rapport. You got to keep a rapport with the people who could be sending you out to these jobs. So you got to be persistent and consistent. You got to show up every morning. And, you know, if you go 7 days in a row and they don't send you out, then you're going to have to go back on the 8th day. You're going to have to go back on the 9th day. You got to keep going back for how long it takes, because once they send you out once, the way it works, they kind of say, okay, well, you know, they have a list in their mind, or literally probably a little list to the side about a person's performance and how they carry themselves and their demeanor and things. All that matters, brothers. All that matters. You know, I'm not telling you brothers to be upfront. Be yourselves. We're Americans, but we got to be ourselves in our own atmospheres. You know what I'm saying? When I go to work, I have a work atmosphere. I deal with people on a work level. That's it. There's no socializing. There's no side deals. There's no all that talk about my personal life. None of that. I go there, give you 100%, be Christ-like, respectful, get paid, and go home and be blessed at my family or something. You know what I'm saying? So keep it really simple. You know, but you got to have patience, brother, because a little money is better than no money. And we both could agree to that. So once they start sending you out, and like I said, when they will not utilize these day labor services, especially in this state of Nevada, man, they was paying me $5.25 an hour. And I was working 8 hours a day, and I was bringing home a $38 check. And then, actually, this is the real deal, okay? I was getting up 3 o'clock in the morning to shower, shave, get on transportation, to get down to day labor at 5 in the morning and try to get there before anybody else get there and put your name on that list, because they used to go by a list. You know, a lot of them don't do that anymore, but that's a different story. So it was almost a guarantee that if you were in the first 10 before the day labor service opened up, that if any jobs came up, you got there early, and if you fit the job, they know you can do the work. Most likely they're going to send you out to work. Okay, but getting back to, I'm getting sidetracked. I was making $38 a day, but I was getting up at 3 in the morning, and I was getting there at 5, and you sit there. Put your name on the list and you sit there. And it's patience. It's really, you have to master patience when you work day labor. Because, you know, after the time starts clicking and stuff, they you know, when it gets like 9 o'clock, they tell you that there's no work. So you really have a 4-hour window. And they tell you there's no work, so if you don't get to work at 9, then you can go and rest your day and whatever you need to do. But I say it is worth getting up 3 in the morning, get down there at 5, and blah, blah, blah. It's legitimate work. They hire felons. Most people at day labor work are felons for whatever reason, okay? But there's a lot of people who do work at day labor that are not felons, and they just know how to master day labor and make a living. I mean, I knew guys that were working day labor, and they were paying mortgages on houses because they knew how to work the day labor system to the point where they had a consistent check coming to them, regardless if it was $5.25 an hour or it was $15 an hour. They make sure that the number priority was is they had to keep the money flowing. And then it was just about managing the money. That's all it was. It was about managing the money that was coming in. Because it really goes down to managing money anyways. It doesn't really matter, because you could be a CEO and you can make $1 million a year. But if you're not managing your money, which means that you have, like, let's say $900,000 worth of bills every year, and you only could save like $12,000 in your savings account after everything is paid for, all your bills and IRS and this and that and all that, whatever, You're not being a good businessman at all, and you're not being a good manager of your finances, because your real asset is really that you only work $12,000. Now, you may say, oh, I got this house equity is worth this, this car is worth this. You could get all the details about what you consider was worth something. But the truth is, having $12,000 in your savings account and living in a $2 million house don't make no sense. Something's wrong with you, is what I'm saying. So that's called mismanagement of money. It means like you literally lost your mind, or you never had one before, I guess. So my point is, you know, you hear these stories about people, brothers, that, you know, you always hear this one, two stories about the guy who worked as a janitor for 40 years. And when he was like, 62 years old, he ended up owning 3 houses. And people are saying, well, how did this man, as you know, with this low paying janitor job at 60, 20, you know, 40 years down the line, end up owning three houses and some land. Well, it didn't take a rocket scientist to come up with an analogy that he did two things. First of all, he made sure he always had a job and he always kept his money coming through legitimately. That's number one and the most important. And number two is that he was very conservative with his money, and he had financial responsibilities that he used for his money. So in other words, he was more concerned in investing his money into things that are real assets like land and houses than he was into his the way he looks, his clothes, his cars, his jewelry, or his women. So brothers, we can't afford to think that way no more, because that is wasting the resources that we get blessed with, is what I'm telling you. And I fall victim to the same thing. I'm guilty. I'm not saying something that I have not lived or I've lived before. I'm a black man, and I'm just saying, we're all going through the same thing here on so different many levels. That's for sure. You know, so managing money is really the key to not putting that pressure on you about always have to come up with this money to pay rent, always got to come up with this money to pay my so-called, which is a disgusting thing called baby's mama. I don't want to get into that. It's ridiculous. But anyways, whatever debts we got, black man, house notes, baby's mama, listen to me. How should we say this to be politically correct? Ex-girlfriend's daughter or son's mother. Let's do that. Anyways, what happens is we get in a situation where we have all these babies. The mothers do not go to child support on us, because that's the way we've been surviving from our existence in slavery. And this is nothing new I'm talking about in the black community, but it's not only in the black community. All communities do this. Our Hispanic brothers and sisters do this. Our Asian brothers and sisters do this. Our Arab brothers and sisters do this. Our Native American brothers and sisters do this. You go on and on. Us being the very existence of America, we do this in this system. You know, we make deals with our children's mothers, so the law won't be on our back, so they put us in penitentiary. And one guy asked me, he could never understand why somebody would do that. And I said, well, I told him, I said, well, from my point of view, a person would do that because they would feel like that is the only way that they could have some kind of existence in society, which is a terrible and a horrible way to feel, but it's a very true reality. You know, if a lot of us black men who have felonies, and I'm blessed to say I don't have one, and I'm almost a 50-year-old man, but I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that I'm blessed to not have one. You get what I'm saying? So, I got 5 minutes left on this, so I better like speed up what I'm talking about. And so, anyways, so the very existence of the frustration of us brothers is our daily reality in America. That's why the book I'm writing, called Black Man's Success and Survival Guide in America, is going to be exactly that. It's going to be a guide, and it's going to be in a book format. And it has 12 chapters. And this book is specifically going to be marketed to us African-Americans, who men and boys and kids who can read of age, because this is kind of part of the media for God brothers that has the connection with the trying to uplift our African-American males. So it's kind of tricky and whatever. I can't get into all the complexities of it. But, you know, I just want to say, brothers, Stop killing cops, please, because regardless of what circumstances that we're in America, killing cops has never been good business at all. It's not good business for any black man in America to be stereotyped of killing cops. And, it wasn't too long ago we were stereotyped as rapists. And before that, I think we were stereotyped as this and that. So these things happen in spurts, but they always happen. It's just part of the media cycle. It's just part of ratings, part of expectation. It's capitalist at its worst, and it's capitalist at its best. So I don't take it personal. But I also understand that, what's going on here. So brothers, please, stop killing cops. Because we need to spend our time and effort and healing and educating our kids, writing our own books, writing our own history, making our own movies, teaching our own people on how to be men and women, period. Because we're here, a lot of people just literally don't look at us like human beings. And I had to come to that conclusion that is very true. Some people, I believe, look at us just like monkeys and gorillas. I really do. But the thing is, knowing that I could talk, you hear me talking right now, so obviously I'm not a gorilla or a monkey. So that's what insults mine, that you can hear me talking, but I might remind you of a gorilla or a monkey. But that is not my problem. I'm content with that. And yes, I do like bananas. Just a little joke. But anyways, there's 2 minutes left, and I'd like to just say thank you very much for listening to God Brothers Radio and this special episode called Brothers, Stop Killing Cops Now. And there's another reason why, besides being wrong, just straight up wrong, I believe in law enforcement. I support law enforcement 100%. I like law enforcement. I have a good relationship with law enforcement. I'm interested in law enforcement. That's what I do. I'm in private investigations. That's a little private I just told you about. But, I got a lot of law enforcement friends. So what? Good thing to have. So, once again, brothers, listen. Stop killing cops now. Because we need to spend our energy into what I said, but we also need to spend our energy to teaching our black kids, our African-American boys and girls, to be cops, to get involved in law enforcement. We want them to be part of the America 100%. So please, you can't say, son, I hate cops, so be a cop. No, you must say, son, I respect cops, so be a cop the Lord wants you to do, in Jesus' name. Everybody have a blessed weekend, and next Saturday at 10 a.m., I hope to see everybody there. Goodbye, and God bless.